Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 through 23. Today we are discussing how this exhortation can be applied to our lives. So we invite you to join in the conversation as we discover how these verses and others call us to a lifestyle of discernment. Okay, Janie, I have a clearer vision and definition of what judgment really means. So in judgment, we have discernment, examine, investigate, distinguish. There are so many other words, synonyms, that better describe the word judge. And so we are to discern. And we've talked about how to discern in our daily walk. And so being a discerner and practicing discernment is a lifestyle rather than just something we do on occasion.
Absolutely, is a part of growing in grace and knowledge and maturing as the Lord has asked us. And when we see in the scriptures that it says to be perfect, it doesn't mean that we are without need of growing, but it means, are you maturing? Be ye perfect. Are you maturing? Are you becoming in the likeness of Christ? Is he controlling your life and you're not working for him, but he is working now through you? So let's just take 60 seconds to say that we don't judge for the purpose of condemnation. That belongs to the God of creation who has designed a plan and a purpose for each one of us. He's the only one who truly knows our hearts. But then from the same Greek word and even in the Hebrew, the words denote that there can be different facets of judging. And it's not for condemning, but it's for the purpose of discerning, as you said, deciding, appropriating, distinguishing, investigating, but for the purpose of reconciliation, for restoration, for helping one another distinguish what's of the flesh that's going to be worthless and burn, and what is going to have lasting value that will go into eternity and always be well-pleasing to the Lord.
And also that we can make better decisions that will bless our lives rather than get us into trouble and cause confusion and chaos. And so when we have the ability to discern right from wrong, good from evil, or even the good of the world from the righteousness of God. You know, there's a distinguishing there that we need to do. And so it allows us to make better decisions and life choices for our future.
And on the decisions, it also helps us to be able to not react when something all of a sudden confronts us, would offend us, would cause anxiety, would cause anger. We now know how to discern, to respond rather than to react.
Yes.
Well, recently, the Lord, I was playing a song, Sharon, and it's called Moment by Moment. I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, there's life from above, looking to Jesus till glorious does shine. Oh, moment by moment, oh Lord, I am thine. You know what, Sharon? If you truly take that literally, you can't get in a flesh in a moment's time. You see, it takes a little bit of, oh, that bothered me, or that offended me, or that, you know, it takes you dwelling on it. But if each moment you just say, Lord, for this moment, I'm trusting you. And, you know, without relating personal pain on either of our parts that we've gone through, you know, we've learned that it takes moment by moment to be able to withstand the pain. You can't say, oh, okay, I'm going to be fine in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. You have to deal with the pain at that moment.
Right.
And how you choose to respond. And then also, I've recently had brought to my attention that many times our physical being gets into trouble because it's lacking oxygen, Okay.
Yeah.
And I also found out that
I think that's a vital part of our being.
So if we are talking too much and not being quiet and listening, we are actually depriving our physical being of oxygen, of the breath of life. Mm. Sharon, do we do the same thing in the spiritual? Are we so busy telling the Lord what we think we need or He should do?
Yeah.
That we don't really get quiet to listen to what He's saying because He is life.
You know, I find that interesting that you said that because just this week I had an opportunity to sit down with my daughter. And, you know, she's 15. She's wondering, you know, what am I going to do with my future, my life? And I was able to encourage her to just rely upon the Lord. Don't try to figure it all out and just be confident in who He is. And one of the things that I was able to say to her, you know, our prayers aren't just about giving our list of needs and wants, but it's also being still and listening and saying, God, where do you want me to go in your word? Where do you want me to see what it is that you have to say to me? And so to be able to help her deepen her prayer life in that way was really a special moment for me to be able to help her see how we sit down and look into His Word and give Him an opportunity to say something in return. Because if we're doing all the talking and we're not doing any listening, then what good is our prayers? How are we going to know that they're answered if we have no time to set aside to just listen to what He has to say?
Well, and you know, this discussion that we're having today really brings us down to the issue of our living, our life is about a relationship with a person. And Sharon, you know, what if you had the security of belonging to your husband, but he couldn't be in your presence? He was off on a job, and you had his clothes in the closet. His cologne was on the vanity.
Right.
And you had pictures of him. But Sharon, does that all equate to not having him right there with you personally, quietly, having him look into your eyes and vice versa? You know, Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died so that we would just seek Him, Himself. Mm-hmm. And culture, modern-day Christianity, in many aspects, have taken our focus away on just the simplicity of a person. Your children now no longer just go out and walk through the fields and are just alive to their surroundings. They're busy. They're going here, they're going there, they've got their sports, they've got their music, they've got their scholastics, they've got their friends, and they've got their deadlines. And we have taught our children how not to be quiet. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to be quiet. For many of children as well as adults, it produces a restlessness. No one likes to have dead airspace. Now, we don't want it on the air. But there are times in our life, our daily life, when we need dead airspace. Mm-hmm. Nothing but just the presence of thinking about the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's missing. And so we need to say, when do we discern that that is a priority? And in discerning when that's a priority, we need to see what type of people can provoke us to not discern, but just to react to them. And the Lord has some strong things to say about that, that falls under the word of judge, but it's really the investigate, decide, discern, those sort of things. And that's in 1 Corinthians 5:10-13. And this is a passage of Scripture that requires discernment. If you don't know how to do this, you cannot discern, and you will then falsely judge.
Do you want me to read that, Jamie?
Yeah, why don't you read that, Sharon?
Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. Wow, Janie.
Let's just say that this verse requires us to be able to discern, not condemn.
Okay.
But
are we condemning if we get up and don't eat with them?
No, okay. We're obeying Scripture.
But that's what it looks like, doesn't it?
Yes, and isn't it a good thing that we don't go by looks, especially if you're after 50 years of age?
Well, thanks, Janie. I just turned 50. Are you telling me something?
I'm telling you, I don't use a mirror as much anymore, okay? So, but if you notice, there's another key word in there. If it is a brother...
Oh, okay.
Okay, because if it's not a brother and it's unbeliever, then you'd have to go out of the world. You're going to rub elbows with people who are drunkards, people who are in immorality and condoning it. And my word, we see where society is taking us with that aspect today. So we'd have to go out of this world if that was the case. But a believer,
okay,
a true believer, is to look different.
Okay. And you're not talking about dress. You're talking about our character.
That's right. Okay. That's right. It should be evidenced. And when we're out in public, we should always be deferring to the other person with kindness, that you're being sensitive to them and looking out for their care as well as your own. It's just a mindset, but you need to be able to distinguish when you see people who are acting or performing very differently.
Okay.
And it can be by their actions. It can be by their words.
So basically, this is saying that if there's a brother who is participating in sexual immorality or greed or idolatry or anything of that nature, that's where we are to disassociate with them.
Well, yes, not to eat with them. Let's pop back over to one of the verses that we have used so much in 1 Thessalonians 5, where it says that we're to admonish the unruly, but we are to help the faint-hearted. We are to encourage the weak, but we are to pursue peace with all men.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different ways that a discerning spirit responds to what they find. That's part of being able to discern. So I'll give you an example. A couple comes to us. And they say, we feel just fine living together and not being married and being intimate with one another. Oh, really? And what is your scriptural basis? Well, it's Romans 6:1. It says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, if grace is all there because we have been redeemed and Jesus Christ has given us grace, His grace, then it doesn't really make any difference to Him if we live any way we want to because we are under grace.
Well, there's also scripture that says that we have liberties to do all things. I've heard people use that as why I mentioned it.
And that would be something you said earlier on this program. You said, but we live according to righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? When you're living according to being right with the mind of God, you do have liberty for all things because you have to be operating under the power of the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit is going to give you the mind of God. So you're in your safe zone.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
So then there is the person who is, just nervous and anxious and biting their nails, and they've got some health issues, and we're to come along and we are to uphold them. Just as though you'd think about being a crutch to them.
So what do we do with the couple who's decided to live together and not be married? I mean,
well, then you tell them that they are misusing the scripture, and then you tell them that that began back in the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
Satan didn't come to Adam and Eve with some preposterous suggestions. No. What did he do? He used scripture.
Yeah.
Has God, of course, it wasn't necessarily written at that time because God was in person communicating.
But he used God's words.
But he used God's words to misappropriate and do what? Cause doubt. It's like I said, Sharon, Has God said you really can't live together with not being married? I mean, what's a piece of paper? It's just a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. In your heart, if you're committed, well, that's good enough. Okay, that conversation could sound very logical. Oh, well, yeah, I think I could buy that.
Well, you know, Abraham, he didn't have a piece of paper.
Good point. But we do have a piece of paper now called the Bible and Scripture. So
right.
If you go to that very same passage, Romans 6, and you just keep scrolling down a few verses, you find that, yes, our sins have been paid for. But as we have mentioned, we have also had our old nature crucified. And it's probably a good time to say here, sins can be forgiven because of the blood of Christ, because of redemption, which is being bought back out of the market of sin, the hopelessness.
So how do we separate, Janie? I mean, this is my friend. You're telling me not to hang out with them and do things with them and...
Well,
I mean, you're telling me to separate from this person?
From fellowshipping with a sin nature that is choosing sin over Jesus Christ. Now, if that person would say, oh, well, you've made me think, you've said some things now that cause me to question, well, I have complete freedom in Christ to then minister truth to them.
Okay.
If somebody would call you and say, Sharon, could you meet me for lunch? I am so troubled. I told you a few weeks ago that I wasn't ready to forgive this person in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you've been praying, Sharon, because now I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm not right. And they want to get together with you and have lunch because the purpose is not to just fellowship and socialize about the weather and to go do some shopping, but they have a hungry heart because they're under conviction.
Okay.
Then that has the ability to discern an act of righteousness because the Lord ate with publicans and sinners, but it wasn't to socialize with them in their sinful lifestyle. It was to draw them unto himself.
Okay.
And so we have to learn how to discern without condemnation, but we have to be willing to separate from someone who is stubborn and justifying a life of sin.
Okay.
Sharon, because that basically, we're saying, and this is strong words, we're basically saying the cross wasn't really necessary. If we can just do our own thing and still be okay, then why did Jesus Christ go to the cross and do something that would free us and without it would condemn us for a life of eternity separate from him? And remember, there's only two H's for eternity. One is a place called heaven, and the other is a place called hell, regardless of what people try to tell us. But we should never, 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 never forget that Satan's chief tactic was to take truth and twist it into a lie that served sin.
Okay, so if I have a friend that's in sin, then according to this verse of scripture, I am not to eat with them or hang out with them with the purpose of just hanging out as friends.
Right.
That if I do go and hang out with them, it is for the purpose of bringing them to the light of Christ.
Yes.
Whether that is to help them realize their sin or to help them get back on track.
Yes, and one of the things that can give you some discernment to investigate where they are is listen to their words.
Okay.
Because the heart speaks and makes itself known by what we say. And so if you hear someone having a conversation and the things of the Lord are never brought up, it's just the temporal that we know cannot go into eternity, then you may want to say something a little shocking. I did that recently to someone, and it did get their attention, and it did cause them to start to think, and that is, I said, oh, well, your opinions evidently are your final authority from our conversation. And they said, well, yeah, I believe I'm right here. And I said, so you're saying that that's your final authority, your opinion, your perspective on this issue. Well, yeah, I believe I'm right. Okay, then I'm going to be bold enough to say, I think you qualify as an idolater. No way. Well, if you are putting your opinion and your preferences over the Word of God and putting His opinion first and it's in contradiction to your opinion, then you qualify as an idolater. You qualify as worshiping like a golden calf. Now, those are shocking words, mm-hmm. and not everyone can handle that. Sometimes you need to make an appeal to someone. Sometimes they need a shock value.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need a gentler form. 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26 says we must always be able to teach, but with gentleness,
mm-hmm.
so that if God chooses to remove the blindness now that the enemy has taken them by control, that they can come into the light.
Well, so does the same command hold true for if we have someone that doesn't know the Lord at all?
Well,
I mean, should we disassociate from that person if they have no clue who the Lord is? Or
absolutely not, unless they tell you that they don't want to hear.
Okay.
And then the scriptures tell us, don't cast your pearls before swine.
Okay.
I had a situation just recently where I met two young people. And I said, you know, what's your names? And they told me. And then I just looked at one and I said, what's the most important thing in your life? And the person was very freshly candid and said, wow, that's an unusual question. And they gave me a very honest answer. But they were honest, they were genuine in giving me an answer. And I said, well, then, how's God? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you know God? Boy, dead silence from one. And I looked at the other one. I said, are you on that person's same page? Well, I'm not sure, but I'm kind of leaning that way. And I said, are you telling me that you have the views of an atheist? And they said, well, yes, basically. I said, oh, what a delight to meet you. I said, I would really like to have conversation with you. I would like to hear your arguments for why you believe there's no God.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now, you know, you can't use circumstances or emotions. And they said, no, that wouldn't be fair to use those. You've got to use facts. And I thought, here is a potential,
mm-hmm.
because they're thinking about the conversation that we're having. I said, oh, this is so great to have met you on the spur of the moment today. I have no idea what they said when I walked away. But you know what? They agreed to meet with me later on after they had put together their arguments
mm-hmm.
on why there is no God. And I am so excited to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are times that you don't run away from them. If they will have conversation with you, you know there's a spark there.
Yeah.
There's
you
a
know,
hunger.
There's hope.
And there's hope
yeah.
because Jesus Christ lives. And then you pursue slowly but sincerely, but with a heart to really not put them down and have an
right.
argument. Okay, my argument's going to be better.
Right.
But to really hear their hearts on why they came to that conclusion in the first place.
Right.
And then know how to gently tear down the walls one by one.
Okay. Discernment is required of us on a daily basis.
Yes.
And to discern even our fellow brothers, to see what kind of fruit is coming from their lives and how they are living their lives, mm-hmm. and then set ourselves apart from people who aren't living Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really thought about that as being something that the Lord had commanded.
A godly command.
Right.
Yes.
Because it looks like condemnation, and I think people see that as condemnation, just like they see us judging as condemnation when what we are doing is doing what God has told us to do.
And sometimes,
and it's not condemning.
Sometimes the Lord spoke in parables because the people didn't have ears to hear,
mm-hmm.
eyes to see. But for the hungry heart, He always spoke to them in a way that they could comprehend Him, even though they didn't always understand Him. Remember, they didn't really recognize who He was until after the resurrection.
Right.
Even that was the best of friends.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time. And God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.